بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of chapter 9 on the subject of beneficial sayings, or the beneficial sayings on the book of Tawheed. And we have reached this chapter 9. We finished a part of it, and inshallah we'll continue the rest of it tonight. The title of this chapter is Seeking a Blessing Through a Tree, a Stone, or the Like. And we related the authors, rahimahullah, citation of some of the verses from Surah An-Najm. And we explained those verses concerning Al-Lat, Al-Uzza, and these idols which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send any authority concerning their approval. Then the author, rahimahullah, went to evidences from the Sunnah, and he cited the hadith Hadith Abi Waqid Al-Layfi. قال he, the author, rahimahullah, said, وعن أبي واقد الليثي قال خرجنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى حنين ونحن حدثاء عهد بكفر وللمشركين سدرة يعكفون عندها وينوطون بها أسلحتهم يقال لها ذات أنواط فمررنا بسدرة فقلنا يا رسول الله اجعل لنا ذات أنواط كما لهم ذات أنواط فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله أكبر إنها السنن قلتم والذي نفسي بيده كما قالت بنو إسرائيل لموسى اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة قال إنكم قوم تجهلون لتركبن سنن من كان قبلكم رواه الترمذي وصححه. The hadith of Abi Waqid al-Layfi, may Allah be pleased with him, said that we went out with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the campaign to Hunain, in preparation for the battle which occurred there in Hunain. While we had just left disbelief for Islam, meaning recently left disbelief to Islam. The mushriks had a sidra, which is a lot tree, that they would stay there and hang their arms on, and it is called Dhatu Anwat. When we passed As-Sidra, this tree, we asked, O Messenger of Allah, won't you make for us another Dhatu Anwat, another tree like this, just like their Dhatu Anwat, just like theirs, meaning the mushriks, tree. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar. Allah is most great. By the one who holds my soul in his hand, verily these are the ways of earlier nations. You have said exactly as Bani Israel, the children of Israel, said to Musa, to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf chapter 7, verse 138, اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة قال إنكم قوم تجهلون. Make for us a god just as their gods, as their آلهة. Verily, he said, verily you are a people who know not. إنكم قوم تجهلون. Musa replied, verily you are people who know not. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after saying this said, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. certainly you will follow the ways and the paths of those who went before you. This hadith. In this hadith, Abi Waqid tells that the companions following the expedition of Al-Fath after the conquest of Mecca, the tribes of Thaqif and the tribes of Hawazin began gathering their forces. So the Prophet ﷺ directed the preparations in their direction, having with him 12,000 troops, 2,000 from the people of Mecca and 10,000 who came from Medina. Total 12,000. With these great numbers, they moved in the direction of Hunain. And they said, today we will not be defeated because of numbers. We are not few. Today we will not be defeated because we are not few. So they were what? They had pride in their numbers. They had pride in their numbers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that victory is from Him and not by numbers. He said in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 25 about this, لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرًا وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. Truly Allah has given you victory on many battlefields, and on the day of Hunayn, the battle of Hunayn, when you rejoiced at your great number, but it availed you not, and the earth, vast as it is, was straightened for you. Then you turned back in flight. So, on their way to the battle of Hunayn. And then when they passed by the valley, they found that the mushriks prepared an ambush for them. And so occurred what occurred. The Muslims dispersed away from the Prophet ﷺ. Only about 100 remained with him. And at the end, the victory was for the Prophet ﷺ, and all praise is due to Allah. So there was a reminder in this battle concerning the issue of numbers. And then what, we should not rejoice and depend on that solely. They mentioned in this hadith that they were just coming from a state of kufr, of disbelief into Islam. Why? They put this as a prelude for their question. When they asked the Prophet ﷺ concerning the tree, had Iman been settled firmly with them, they would not have asked the Prophet ﷺ this question. So they said, the mushriks have this Lot tree, and they sit by it, so, and they hang their arms, so they mentioned the tree of the mushriks. They hang their arms on this tree as a blessing, seeking blessing. So this, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, اجعل لنا ذات أنواط كما لهم ذات أنواط. So make for us. Won't you make for us another that and what? Meaning this tree, the like of this tree, just like theirs. Meaning as for blessing. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar. He made takbir because of the weightness and gravity of this request. Not as being pleased with it. How they say something like this, while they believe that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. However, the Prophet ﷺ said, it is the sunan, it is the way, the sunan of the earlier nations. You said, he said to them, and he made an oath, and he said, you have said, he said, by Allah, in whose hand is my soul, you have said what the children of Israel said to their prophet Musa alayhi salam, اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة قال إنكم قوم تجهلون. Make for us a god like theirs, they said to Musa alayhi salam. Musa responded, إنكم قوم تجهلون, verily you are people who know not. After this statement, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in a warning, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. You will certainly follow the ways of those who went before you. So when he made the analogy, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the analogy regarding what the companion said, so you are asking this type of a tree, just as these mushriks have theirs. And he made the analogy to what the children of Israel had asked Musa alayhi salam. And he swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one in whose hand is my soul, not only that Allah can cause the self to die or to give it life, no, not only that, but also in terms of running of its affairs, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you will do what they did, and you will say as they had said. And this statement by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not an attestation, rather it is a warning, and this is very important to understand. This is not an attestation, rather it is a warning. Why? Because we know that the ways of those who preceded are ways of misguidance, where they asked for a god besides Allah. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam intended to warn his ummah not to take the path of those before him, before it, from the ways of dalal, of misguidance and astray paths. So the evidence from this hadith, or the point of evidence from this hadith, is اجعل لنا ذات أنواط كما لهم ذات أنواط. Make for us ذات أنواط, this tree, like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam denounced this. Now the benefits of this chapter. First, in this chapter there was a tafsir, an interpretation of the verses in Surah An-Najm concerning the Lat, Al-Uzza and Manat, these idols whom the mushriks invented. And whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us about that these were established without any kind of authority from him. Then in this, the author rahimahullah mentioned this hadith concerning the tree. They intended from this to have this tree for blessing, not to worship it, not to worship it, but as a blessing. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam denounced this strongly, it became clear that seeking blessing in trees is forbidden. Seeking blessing in trees is forbidden. And that this is from the path of the misguidance taken by nations before. Second or third, the fact that they didn't hang their weapons, nor did they ask from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to approve that for as an action. Rather, they asked him to make one for them, and that they intended to have that as a means of nearness to Allah, thinking that Allah loves this. Meaning that by hanging the weapons on a tree which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam assigns, then there will be a blessing and it will be a means of nearness to Allah. And that's why they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do that from this angle. The next benefit, the fact that they were ignorant about this matter, then by all means other than them are more ignorant, because we know that the companions are without any doubt the most knowledgeable concerning the deen of Allah. So if they were ignorant that this type of blessing is forbidden, then others by all means. And therefore the author intended by bringing this hadith under this chapter is that we should not be deceived by the action of people. Why? Because the action of people may arise due to some ignorance, and therefore the criteria must be in following the shara, the sharia, not the actions of people, to make it as a reference. Next benefit, the companions, for the companions there is the reward of good deeds and the promise of forgiveness that is not for others. And we should not forget that. And this is known from textual proofs, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 10, 57, rather, 50, chapter 57, verse 10. لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا وكل وعد الله الحسنى. Not equal among you are those who spent and fought before the conquering of Mecca with those among you who did so later. Such are higher in degree than those who spent and fought afterwards. But to all Allah has promised the best reward, and Allah is all aware of what you do. So the companions possess from the good deeds and the promise of forgiveness and the causes for forgiveness which others don't. Yet even with this, the Prophet ﷺ did not excuse them in their request. Seventh benefit. He did not excuse them, but also responded and denounced their request. When he said, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater, that you will follow the trail, the path of those before you. So he said it in a strong way, strong denunciation. Three things. First, he said, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater, indicating the weightness of the matter and its gravity. Then he said, إِنَّهَا السُّنَنْ, verily these are the ways. And then he said, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ سُنَنَا مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ, you will follow the path of those who are before you. So he magnified the severity of the matter of their request. And he said, إِنَّهَا السُّنَنْ, these are the ways, and this is a warning. And then the other one, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ, is another warning that you will follow the path of those who before you. Another warning. And this grave matter, why? Because he took it with analogy to the situation of the request of Bani Israel, the request that they put to Musa, make a god like theirs. And here they asked for a tree to be set as for blessing, as the mushriks did. And therefore, in both requests, those of Bani Israel and the request of the companions that did that, there is an opposition to Tawheed. Why? Because the Tabarruk, seeking blessing in trees, is a kind of shirk. And them, with respect to the children of Israel, setting up a god is a shirk, a clear, evident shirk. The ninth benefit, that this request, or rejecting this request, is itself a meaning of La ilaha illallah. So, negating the blessing in the trees and the like is from the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Why? Because La ilaha illallah negates everything, every quote unquote God besides Allah, or other than Allah, and negates divinity to anything and or anyone besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Similarly, the blessing must not be except for Allah. Meaning, the blessing is sought from Allah. In this statement which the Prophet ﷺ made, he swore by Allah. He swore on the ruling. And he ﷺ does not swear except when there is a benefit. So he swore on the ruling. When he said, قُلْتُمْ, by Allah, by the one whose soul is in his hand, you said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي قُلْتُمْ, you said. And the Prophet does not swear except when there is a benefit or to ward off a harm or an evil. And he doesn't just swear for any reason, as it is the habit of some people. The 11th point of benefit, that shirk is of a major akbar type and of quote unquote lesser type. Why? In this case, because they did not turn apostate because of their request. Because they didn't request this tree or this tree to worship, but rather for blessing. And shirk is of two types, major and lesser, greater or lesser. And also, some of it is apparent and some is hidden. So the major shirk or the greater shirk is the one, is the shirk which takes the person away or out from the fold of the deen of Islam. The lesser, ash-shirk al-asghar, quote unquote, is that which is lesser. But this term lesser, it's not really a clear scale. And that's why the scholars, rahimahumullah, differed concerning the criteria for what constitutes ash-shirk al-asghar. They differed on two sayings. First saying, that the shirk al-asghar, lesser shirk, is every thing which the legislator has generalized to be shirk, and the textual proofs indicate that it is not of the greater type. This is one saying. So the lesser shirk is everything which the legislator has generalized to be shirk, and the textual proofs indicate it is not of the greater type. Like, for example, the Prophet ﷺ saying, مَنْ حَلَفَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ, whoever swears by other than Allah, then he commits shirk. The shirk here is asghar, is quote lesser. Why? Because the textual proofs stated that the mere swearing by other than Allah does not take the person out of the fold of Islam. This is one saying. The second saying is that ash-shirk al-asghar, the lesser shirk, is that which is a path leading to the greater shirk, to the major one. Even though the legislator may have not called it shirk, Like, for example, for someone to depend upon something as he depends, to the same level as he depends upon Allah, or relies upon Allah in it, or regarding it. But he does not take it as a god, this thing upon which he relies. He does not take it as a god. This is a lesser shirk in accordance with this definition. They said that this is a lesser shirk because such reliance will lead him at the end to the greater shirk. Will lead him at the end to the greater shirk. And as you can tell, this definition is what? Is more comprehensive than the first one, isn't it? You can tell that this definition is what? More comprehensive. Wider in its scope, right? Asking you. طيب. Why? Because the first definition, in accordance with the first definition, the first definition prevents you from ascribing anything to be shirk unless there is a dalil, unless there is a dalil, an evidence for that. Clear? In accordance with the first definition, it requires a dalil, it requires an evidence. The second, however, is more wider, or it's wider in its scope, because it makes any kind, any path or way or means to the major shirk, makes it as a lesser shirk. And in accordance with this second definition, it may be said that sins, all sins, are of lesser shirk type. Right? Because the driving force, the thing which incites to do them, is desire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Jathiyah, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ. Have you seen him who takes his own vain desires as God? And that's why the Prophet ﷺ generalized by saying, by applying shirk upon the one who abandons the salah. Yet he did not what? Set up a rival with Allah. He, the Prophet ﷺ, said, بين الرجل وبين الشرك, between the person and shirk and kufr is abandonment of salah. The main point to make here, therefore, is that the companions who asked for this tree for blessing did not turn apostate. We said earlier that shirk may be apparent and may be hidden. Some of the scholars said that the apparent is the major and the hidden is the lesser. And others said the apparent is what is apparent to the people from whatever, it is lesser or major, like swearing by Allah, by other than Allah, and like prostrating to an idol, while the hidden is which is unknown to the people, whether it is from the major or the lesser, like show off or believing, having conviction that there are other gods besides Allah. And it also may be possible to say that what is apparent is really what is apparent, that it is shirk, even though it may be of the lesser, and the hidden is everything else other than that, other than which is not apparent. Now, which one of them is unforgivable? Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that the shirk is unforgivable even if it is of al-asghar type, of the lesser type. Why? Why did he say this? He depended upon the general statement in the verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 116, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Verily Allah forgives not setting up partners in worship with Him. He said that أن يشرك به, setting up rivals with Him, is general, is a negation, and the absolute negation indicates generality. Other scholars, however, said that the lesser shirk falls, its ruling, the ruling upon it concerning the person, falls under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's under Allah's will, mashi'ah. And that Allah is saying here, أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ, setting up partners with worship, here refers to the major one. However, the lesser is forgiven because it does not take the person out of the fold of Islam. And every sin which does not take the person out of the fold of Islam, it is under the mashi'ah of Allah. It is under Allah's will. Nevertheless, one says the following. The person committing the lesser shirk is on a path, is on a dangerous path, because it is greater in magnitude than the major sins, and it's a gate that leads to the major shirk. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said, لأن أحلف بالله كاذبا أحب إلي من أن أحلف بغيره صادقا. It is more beloved for me to swear by Allah while lying, rather than to swear by other than Allah while truthful. Is this clear so far? The discussion on the major shirk and lesser shirk, is it clear now? And the different sayings concerning its meaning? طيب. The 12th point of benefit. In their statement, they made a prelude as kind of an excuse to them. When they asked for the tree to be set, they put an excuse for their ignorance. Why? When they said what? Can somebody tell me? When they said what? Not long left kuf, exactly. We're new in Islam. We just came from disbelief. That's right. However, the other companions who preceded them in Islam, it wasn't an ignorant matter to them. Accordingly, one here learns a benefit. A person should provide an excuse for his saying or action, lest he subject himself to ill opinions regarding things which may not be in him, or regarding ill sayings concerning him. A proof for this is the hadith of Safiya, may Allah be pleased with her, the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam accompanied her and two people from the Ansar passed, and he was with her walking, and two people from the Ansar passed by, the Prophet ﷺ immediately said, إِنَّهَا صَفِيَّ بِنْتُ حُيَيْ. They didn't ask. He went immediately and said, she is Safiyya bint Huyay. Why? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam resort to this clarification, quote unquote, without being even asked? Why? To have no doubts, no suspicion, to ward off ill opinions, ill thoughts. The shaitan does not whisper things to them. That's it. The 13th benefit is permissibility to make takbir upon amazement or upon surprise from something. And this is taken from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he heard what they heard, what they said, Allahu Akbar, meaning Allah is greater, from having partners to him. And in the narration by At-Tirmidhi, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Subhanallah, meaning Allah is high above any kind of imperfection and or defects. The 14th point of benefit: blocking the means and ways for certain specific things, the means that may lead to something. However, the means that may lead to something requested and wanted, this are to be opened. Here it is referred to the blameworthy matters or objectives. Then the paths and ways leading to them are to be closed, an end to be put to them. And this Dhatu Anwat, this tree, is a means for shirk. If they would put their weapons on it and seek the blessing by this, then shaitan will take them gradually to worship the tree and to ask from that their requests directly. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ put an end for that, closed the door for it. The 15th point of benefit: forbiddance to resemble the people of jahiliyyah, the people of ignorance. Why? Because this is taken from the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, قُلْتُمْ كَمَا قَالَتْ بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلِ. You just said what Bani Israel had said to their Prophet Musa alayhi salam. So he denounced that. And from this we know that the Jahiliyyah is not specific to the period before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but rather it applies upon whoever is ignorant of the truth and acts in accordance with ignorance, then this is from Jahiliyyah. The 16th point of benefit: anger upon teaching. Anger upon teaching. The hadith is not explicit about this, but it is to be taken, it may be taken from indications in the hadith. Due to the intensity of the denunciation, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar, these are the ways, and you will follow the paths of those people before you, those people on misguidance. The severity and the strength of the wording indicates anger. And that's why the author, rahimahullah, deduced this point: anger, being upset with the student, for the sake of goodness while educating. The 17th point of benefit, the universality of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innaha sunan, these are the ways, they are the ways. So this is a general tendency of mankind, these are the ways. And that this ummah will follow the paths of those before. Meaning, not permissibility. The Prophet ﷺ is not making this like it is permissible for this ummah to follow. Rather, it is a warning. As in his statement, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he said, سَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَىٰ 73 فِرْقَةً. This ummah will be divided into 30 or 73 sects, all in hellfire, except one. And this is a warning. Is this an approval? Question to you. Is this an approval or a warning? It is a warning. Naam. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنْ أُمَّتِي أَقْوَامٌ يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْحِرَّ وَالْحَرِيرِ. There will be from my ummah those who will consider silk and unlawful relations and alcoholic beverages as halal. These are from the matters which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed about their occurrence, yet they are forbidden. The 18th point of benefit. This is a sign of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophethood, because things occurred as he foretold, meaning following the paths of those before us. Now if someone brings the question and says, but the Prophet ﷺ, when he addressed the people in Arafah, he told them, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَدْ أَيْسَ يَعْبُدَهُ الْمُصَلُّونَ فِي جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ, that the shaitan gave up for having the musalloon, the people who make salah, yani the Muslims, worship him in Arabia, in the Arabian Peninsula. Then how is this worship taking place? The answer, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam informing of the shaitan's despair does not indicate that this will never take place or that it will not take place, but it is possible to take place contrary to what shaitan expects. That is because when shaitan, after the people, after Islam became strong and the expeditions and people entered the deen in numbers, he kind of despaired that other than Allah be worshipped in this peninsula. However, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not fit with that, except meaning that it will take place, that such a worship will take place. And thus we say it is inevitable that this will take place. Lest it will be said that all the actions done in the Arabian Peninsula cannot be shirk. And we know that the Shaykh rahimahullah, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, revived Tawheed in the Peninsula. And that people at one time, there were amongst them the Mushrik and the non-Mushrik. So the Hadith therefore informed us of what is in the shaitan's self then. And this does not indicate that it's not going to take place. And here is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informing and saying that you will follow the path of those before you. And he was addressing the companions who were in the Arabian Peninsula. Is this point clear now? Is this matter clear? The 19th point. Everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has censored the Jews and the Christians in the Quran, then it is also applicable upon us, addresses us as a warning against those deeds. When we say for us, does this mean this refers to totality, not everyone? So when there is a resemblance to the Jews and the Christians in certain ways, and so if that was something blameworthy upon the Jews and the Christians, then it's also blameworthy upon us. And it is the case, mostly the case, that there is a resemblance to the Jews and the Christians with everyone, mostly the case. How? The one who disobeys Allah on knowledge, while knowing, then he has a resemblance to the Jews. And the one who worships Allah while upon misguidance and innovations, then he has resemblance to the Nasara, to the Christians. And the one who envies people because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them from his favors, he has resemblance to the Jews, and so forth. And if the author intended, rahimahullah, that there will be in this ummah a quality, in that this is general. Why? Because there could be, very few who will be saved from this. And if he intended that everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed the Jews and the Christians with, then it is for everyone of this ummah, then it should be not the case. The 20th point. Acts of worship are based upon commands. Are based upon commands. So when there is no affirmation of a command regarding a legislation by the legislator as an act of worship, then it is an innovation. The Prophet ﷺ said, "من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد." Whoever does something which is not in accordance with our command, he will have it rejected. And he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ, beware of the newly invented matters, meaning in the deen. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, verily every bid'ah is a misguidance. Now, you heard this hadith, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا, whoever does a matter which is not in accordance with our command will have it rejected. And we know the other hadith, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whoever does something, innovates something in our affair, he will have it rejected. There is difference between these two narrations. There are three differences between these two narrations.
In the first one, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man amila amalan." Whoever does an action, an act. This is particular to deeds, actions. While in the other narration, whoever invents, in our command, that which is not from it, this covers actions and beliefs. So this is more general. This part is more general than the first one. This is one difference between the implications of these two narrations. So therefore, in your application of this evidence, you may benefit, depending on its applicability. You understand now? This is a delicate matter. You understand this difference, this first difference? من عمل عملا, whoever does an action. This is referring to deeds, actions. The other, من أحدث في أمرنا, whoever invents in our matter, covers actions and convictions, اعتقادات, beliefs. So the second is more comprehensive. Is this part clear now? Is this difference clear? Is this difference clear? Secondly, the saying "man amila amalan," whoever does an action, this covers the person himself doing it by himself or imitating others in it. While the second, whoever invents something in our affair will have it rejected, this refers to the person himself. You see the second difference now? So from this angle now, the first is more comprehensive than the second. From this angle, the first is more comprehensive than the second. So therefore, if someone, you want to bring an evidence to someone who is doing an action in imitation to other which is wrong, which hadith you apply? Which hadith you apply to cover this? You tell me. The first, من عمل عملا. That's right. The first. That's right. طيب. The third difference in the hadith, whoever does an action, this means rejecting every action which is in accordance with our command. It means rejecting every action. However, the second does not necessitate rejecting everything until we wait and check, is his action in accordance to the Sharia or not? Because in the hadith, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه, whoever invents in our affair that which is what? Not part of it. So this necessitates what? That you hold to make sure that is this part of it or not part of it. While the other one, whoever does an action, this is more general, it requires rejecting. So the first one is precautionary, or the second requires precaution rather. The second requires precaution. Is that clear now? You see these differences now between these two narrations, and this carries an implication in terms of using them as evidence if needed. طيب. So therefore, back to our point, whoever worships Allah in any worship, then he is asked for the Dalil. Why? Because in principle, in origin, there is restrainment on worship, unless there is a Dalil for its legality. Meaning, it's forbidden to initiate a worship without a Dalil for its legality. However, with respect to transactions, food, drinks, clothing, etc., in principle, they are permissible, except that upon which the Dalil is applicable, that it is otherwise, meaning impermissible. Is this clear? And we discussed this in the foundations. The next benefit in this hadith, there is indication for the questions in the grave. It doesn't indicate that the person will be asked in the grave, but this indicates what? The affirmation of lordship and prophethood and worship, this hadith. It's indicating these questions, but not stating them. Why we say this? Because in this hadith there is a dalil for the affirmation of rububiyya, lordship, prophethood, and worship. As to man rabbuk, this means there is no true God, no true Rabb, Lord, except Allah. And as to prophethood, it is because of him telling something from the unseen. He foretold about something. When he said, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ, you will follow the path of those before you. And it happened as he informed, صلى الله عليه وسلم. As to مَا دِينُكْ, what's your religion? When he said, اجعل لنا إلها, make for us a God. When he cited the words of Bani Israel to Musa. Meaning, make for us a God to worship. And worship is the deen. And the Shaykh rahimahullah, Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, mashallah, he was very precise in his understanding of the meanings of the texts. The 21st point. The sunnah of Ahlul Kitab, the path or the way of the people of the book, is blameworthy. Just as the sunnah, the way of the mushriks. This is taken from where? From the statement of the Prophet, صلى الله عليه وسلم, كما قالت بنو إسرائيل لموسى, as Bani Israel had said to Musa. And their saying was blameworthy. 22nd point of view, 22nd point of benefit. The one who is changing from a state of falsehood, which was kind of a norm to him. It may be said that he is not safe, that in his heart there could be some remnants of the old state of false conviction. And this is sahih. The person who moves from something, whether it is changes from a state, whether it is fault, falsehood in the beginning, it's not safe that he may be still having some remains of that in him, and that this may take a while to clear. Why? This is taken from their statement. Huh, you tell me now. This is taken from their statement. Which one? We just came from disbelief. MashaAllah. Naam. It is as if, yes, exactly, the same meaning. It is as if we didn't ask about this, except that we still have some remnants of the Jahiliyyah. And that's why it is from the hikmah, the wisdom, to expel the unmarried adulterer after lashing him, expel him away from the scene or the place where he committed the zina. Why? Lest he return to it. And therefore the person should stay away from the places of kufr and shirk and disobedience, lest something of this falls in his heart and settles there. And this brings the end of the discussion on this chapter. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.